Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so how did Florida Man's been busy? All right, first up, this I guess it's a I'm trying to figure out. It's Big Pine Key, Florida. It's like a semi-truck pontoon. That's what I was thinking of, a pontoon boat. And so this guy creates a half semi-truck, half pontoon. And this was from WINK News in Big Pine Key. He said it doesn't get more Florida than that. He was boating with a half semi-truck, half pontoon in Big Pine Key. I'm just amazed that it doesn't sink. And he said it's just something that they did for the fun of it. Juan's got some photos of it in the simulcast. Like, that's probably one of the, yeah. Florida man claims that voices made him rob a Dollar General twice. And actually, it was more than that. And one time it was two times in one day. And then it was another day, 3 days, technically. During the investigation, police said an employee immediately recognized the suspect as a 31-year-old Matt Pringle. They said that he said that he heard voices, and apparently the voices told him to go and rob the dollar store. That's pretty specific. Like, if you hear a voice and it goes, psst, go rob the dollar store. Go and rob it. Sounds, he took cash from the register and fled on foot. Were they going to, what did he think they were going to tell him? Oh, the voices told you? That's okay. You get to go. The voices told you to do it. You
what
get to
they
leave.
What are they going to tell him, like, one of the voices is going to say, get an education and a job.
Or, yeah, why don't the voices ever say, get a job? Right. That's a great point. I don't know why, but that's a million-dollar question. A Florida man shoots an intruder who tried to break into his home. This was on Thursday. The incident occurred after midnight in Volusia County, according to law enforcement. They said, that via the Washington Examiner, they said that it was 12 in the morning, a little after midnight. Port Orange police responded. They said the homeowner defended himself against the intruder, the home invader, who was trying to forcibly enter the residence. The homeowner, they said that it's believed the homeowner acted in self-defense. They were investigating anyway, but it sounds like stand your ground right there because you have the right to defend yourself against people who want to do you harm in your home. And so it looks like that's exactly what happened. This, let's see, I'm not reading this one. This guy cannot. Okay, so I got a villages story. This seems so mean to do. Like, to keep. A former employee was arrested after allegedly reaching into a tip bucket, not once, but twice, at a car wash. Daniel Previtt, 43, was arrested Friday after he was caught on surveillance reaching into the tip bucket at the Sweetwater Cash Wash. And they said that he was found to also be in possession of a controlled substance. He apparently previously worked at the car wash. He was fired because he took money from the tip bucket. And then they get about $200, $300 a day in tip money. So he went back after the same car wash he was fired at for taking money out of the tip bucket. And then he took more money out of the tip bucket. He was booked into Sumter County Detention Center on a $4,000 bond. Why? Like, what? Again, get a job. Oh, so easy. Get a job. Oh, my gosh. A woman buys a BMW with a bogus check. She adds a $100 tip. What? Marion County, Florida. Deputies in Marion County are searching for a Florida woman accused of purchasing a BMW from an auto shop with a fake check. She's wanted for grand theft of a motor vehicle. She visited Baseline Auto Care. And then she also added a $100 tip in the memo. What? Oh, my gosh. That is that not like a tip right there? Shouldn't that be a red flag that, wait, what? They tried to deposit the check because they're dumb, and they were told that it was fraudulent, and they contacted her. She said she'd go back to the shop to pay for the car, but still hasn't. So they found the BMW. They found the printers, the blank checks, and an iPad in the trunk. So there you go. They're still looking for her, though. Can I just touch on the coronavirus thing? Because I saw this tweet. Let me pull this out. Who's still buying this? I saw this over, this is at Time Magazine. They wrote this today. This is today years old. This story. Quote, more free COVID-19 tests are available for the holiday season. You can order more free COVID tests for online home delivery. The government is offering to send another round of 4 at-home virus tests. You can order free meaning we paid for it. tests. Who the hell is still doing this? Who is still doing this? I have not tested myself or done anything with it since the last time during lockdown I had it. And remember, they said it was not like going out in public that was driving it. They said it was just like in-home stuff that people had been that was driving it. But they said that government's mailing these out. They're trying to ride off flu season and the spike in RSV, which you knew was coming. You knew they were going to do that. But they're saying that they immunity from previous vaccinations has kept case counts lower. No, it hasn't. I mean, unless you talk about, you know, killing people, maybe. I digress. Censor me, YouTube, you bunch of rat bastard fascist thugs. Censor me. Pound sand. Yeah, they'll totally, if I talk about, if I say the word that rhymes with schmivermectin, they'll demonetize me.
Is it too close?
So, who's ordering these still? Is anybody still doing this? I don't know if I've ever had it again, because I have never cared. I didn't care. It was a bad cold the first time. I never cared.
No need to worry about it. If you were naturally infected and you naturally recovered, you have natural immunity to all of the future variants of it as well. Unfortunately, the vaccine doesn't do anything but damage.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. I'm just curious about this.
I mean,
why are we still doing
the
this?
The schmackveen?
The schmackveen?
Yeah, I can't say vaccine.
Oops, you just did it. Gosh, we're still going to get demonetized. They're going to pull us and censor us and all the fingers in the air. So I'm just, you know, why are they still pushing this? Now, one of the things that's interesting to note in Texas, in the Republic of Texas, they only just now, well, actually, it was in June. I take that back. So not just now. But there was this COVID disaster declaration, right? And they kept renewing it. The governor kept renewing it every year, every month. And I always wondered why they were renewing it. It doesn't make sense because it grants the governor sweeping powers that apparently they never used, especially to go after some of these county judges and some of these other local officials that, like in my area before we had an election, that mandated the mask wearing. I mean, I remember the Glenn Whitley was the judge, and he's been replaced, thank heavens, by Tim O'Hare, who's a fabulous judge, who's great in this role. But like this Glenn Whitley guy, I remember when we were still locked down, my kids couldn't go to school. I had a friend that had to bury her mother, and she has a twin sister, had to bury her mother. Only one of the twins could go. Only her sister went, and everyone else, she couldn't even bury her mother. And I'm watching these county judges. Like, I saw this Glenn Whitley guy have like a party for one of his kids, no mask. I saw the other Clay Jenkins, the Dallas County judge that was threatening people with fines if they didn't wear their masks in Dallas. He literally held a big backyard wedding for his daughter, no mask. There are pictures of it all over. I mean, these people are absolute rat bastards who disrupted life. Furthermore, I remember in the state of Texas, do you guys remember the raid? They did raids on, like, there were people who would pick up food at this bar or would get drinks at this bar, and then they staged a protest and they raided them. They had a SWAT team show up and they arrested these people. Do you guys remember out in West Texas the nail tech and the eyelash extension lady that got arrested? They literally set up a sting and they arrested them for violating the quote unquote stay at home orders. Who could forget Shelley Luther, the hairstylist who needed to keep doing what she was doing because she was going broke and couldn't pay her mortgage. See, that was the other fun fact, too. The government was talking about paying everybody's leases and you're going to have a rent moratorium. But they didn't talk about the property owners. They still had to pay everything and taxes on top of it. But yet they were told through economic eminent domain that they couldn't go out and earn a living. They were forcing people into poverty. Our government was. It's the most communist damn thing I've ever seen in the United States. And Texas's government and the governor was complicit in it. And you can try to dress that turd up six ways to Sunday, but it's still a POS at the end of the day. That action happened. That action is garbage. And we had our Texas leadership that went along with it. So forgive me if I don't take, you know, I just feel like, and I know we're playing the endorsement game. I think that some endorsements of some governors are worth more than others. And I've always had a good relationship with my governor, but I'm not going to pretend that I care about any kind of endorsement, especially when you like our leaders had the ability to weigh in and stop some of this stuff a hell of a lot sooner than they did, but they didn't do it because they were worried about optics. Like when you only that declaration, by the way, that COVID declaration that kept going, that kept open the sweeping powers for the executive office here in Texas, that literally was just allowed to expire this past summer. There was nothing done to stop these county judges from doing this. Nothing. So you can't say, well, was it state or local judges? Yes, empowered by the head of the state. Because they had the power to do something and they didn't do it. And they allowed these, and then they're going to, and then to try to campaign or trade influence on the back of having done something only in the 11th hour after all the facts came out and everybody has suffered and been rendered bankrupt, that doesn't do it for me. That's like throwing somebody a life raft after they've already drowned. Politics is a dirty game, and there are too many cowards in this game, and a lot of them are Republicans in Texas. There is no sacred cow to me. I don't give a rat's ass about being your friend. I get enough campaign donation solicitations and everybody else to paper my damn office. I don't care. But let's be honest about stuff, especially when you're trying to trade on influence with things and you're trying to influence people in an election. You know, you kind of want to make sure that maybe you should worry about your own influence in your own state. After people were arrested, after there were legit sting operations to bust eyelash extension people. Oh, they violated the sacred stay-at-home order. I remember people had to actually like be very, very public and getting Abbott to get involved in Shelley Luther's case. And it was Dean Patrick that paid her fines, by the way. It wasn't Paxton and it wasn't Abbott for all the people who went to bat for Paxton. It was Dean Patrick. And I've gone round and round with him over gun stuff. It was him. He was the one who paid for her fine. Not everyone's perfect. I don't expect people to be. But by God, when you've got the evidence out there and it's 2023 in June and you're still like going with these declaration orders for COVID. Are you serious with me right now? Come on. Come on.
And now all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So first up, has your 401k, has it decreased, diminished significantly? Average Americans are finding their retirement balance has fallen 4% as more and more people are dipping into their life savings to make ends meet. But hey, we're told that Biden economy has been working wonders. So just suck it up and love it. Nothing's wrong. Everything's great, right? Everything's wonderful. Hunter can still go and buy his expensive sports cars, and he can still have his pad in Malibu, and Biden can still have 2-3 different houses. It doesn't matter. They're good. So shouldn't you be? Dogs are coming down with an unusual respiratory illness in several U.S. states. This story coming from the AP says that vets are in several states are saying that take precautions to keep your pets healthy. Oregon, Colorado, and New Hampshire, they've seen cases of this respiratory illness and pneumonia that doesn't respond to antibiotics. And they said that dogs will cough and they sneeze and they have nasal and eye discharge and are lethargic. And they said some dogs are really, really sick within 24 to 36 hours. They said in Oregon alone, there's been more than 200 cases of this since mid-August. So people are told to contact their vets. Just be smart about your dogs and be proactive. Because they can get sick too, just as people do. If you buy cantaloupe, apparently there's a recall. Daily Caller says there's a recall of salmonella outbreak across 15 states because of cantaloupes, pre-cut cantaloupes. Can I ask why in the world people buy pre-cut fruit? Why? Do you just love burning money? Do you just like setting your money on fire? I see like pre-cut fruit, like pineapple slices. And I see, there's like pre-cut apple slices. Pre-cut apple. What in the world? You know what? This is how Rome fell. It fell just like this. Just like this. Centers for Disease, blah, 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 CDC. They said that salmonella outbreak across 15 states. There have been 17 hospitalizations and 43 illnesses related to just this since Friday. Arizona, Minnesota, Missouri, Texas, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Illinois, Kentucky, Ohio, Virginia, Georgia, Oklahoma, Washington, Maryland, and California are all the states that have reported this. The tainted cantaloupes have been sold at various retailers, two main brands. They said that the 4050s, according to the report, the Malakita, the whole cantaloupes, and many, they said that some of these, the pre-cut version, Vineyard brand, their cantaloupe cubes, melon medleys, and fruit medleys in Oklahoma stores, and Aldi apparently has sold some. So just, you know, look at your fruit and don't buy pre-sliced fruit because that kind of that stuff happens. Apparently, Snoop Dogg is not smoking pot anymore and weed stocks are hit. Are you serious? Good grief. A teenage grocery bagger started working at Kroger and is processing a lot of returns in 2 weeks. Discovered they nearly $1 million was missing. This is a teenage grocery bagger. And this was started working at Kroger, processing all these returns, took $1 million in 2 weeks. He spent in 2 weeks, he took $1 million. How do you not notice that in 2 weeks? How do you not notice $1 million going out like all these returns? Oh my gosh, somebody is not paying attention. Trey Brown, 19. And so he bought guns, cars, and clothes. That's what he bought. We've been talking about everything with Media Matters. I tweeted out a fun flashback of when Andrew Breitbart, Mike Flynn, and myself, who Mike Flynn ran Big Government, I ran Big Journalism, we dropped in for Media Matters 990, and we scared David Brock half to death when we showed up, and he ran for the elevators, and Andrew blocked him. It was one of the funniest things ever. And we took Mike Flynn because Mike Flynn, if you never knew Mike Flynn, who edited Big Government, he was the most American Irishman I've ever met. And he hated everything about DC. He hated it. And he was like this old gumshoe reporter. He was very old school. I mean, he wasn't old, but he was very old school. And he and Andrew both passed since. And Mike had a gravelly voice. I've never seen him without, actually this video I think is the only time I've ever seen him without a cigarette. He's just like an old school reporter. He worked in D.C., hated D.C., knew everything about D.C., knew everybody's dirty secrets. He knew everything about everybody. He could tell you something about the most obscure person in D.C. that you think nobody knows. And he knew everything to ask about, you know, tax structures and everything else. So the 990, what that is a form that certain quote unquote nonprofits have to have on hand by demand that anybody can walk in and ask for. And it was just really, I mean, it was just nuisance. We were just there we were trolling them. We were just there to annoy. And we were actually driving in a vehicle. I can't remember what road it was on, but it was right outside Media Matters, Washington, D.C. headquarters. And we were in a vehicle. And when I tell people, like whenever I criticize, by the way, Steve Bannon, and people are like, oh, that's so mean. I've known him for over a decade, so I can say that. But he was driving the vehicle, actually. So we were in the vehicle with him. And it was us three. Andrew asked if we wanted to take a field trip to Media Matters. And we had no idea what that was going to entail. But in the car, he came up with the idea, or Mike did, of asking about the 990. So in the middle of a road, we were driving down and Andrew saw David Brock walking with his, I guess, bodyguards, because David Brock's like 3'4". And saw David Brock, silver hair, always looks like he's, you know, tweaking, probably because of the cocaine, allegedly, and per Daily Caller, and saw him walking down the street and scream, Steve, stop the car, stop the car. Car stops. We all pile out of the back in the middle of a damn road, like in the middle of a road in D.C., in the middle of a weekday at noon. And he's yelling, Dana, are you recording? Are you recording? I'm trying to record. You know how difficult it is to record while running? And then also following Andrew. And I've never seen him run that fast in his ever-loving life. And it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. As we were running up to David Brock, you could put it in slow-mo. David Brock sees us coming. And Andrew was not small. He was a tall dude. And he was, you know, he wasn't exactly like athletically shaped. And he sees Andrew and Mike and I trailing, Mike with a cigarette, and trailing him. And I'm trying to record and keep it steady as Andrew's turning back, yelling at me, making sure I'm recording. And you can see David Brock's face. He sees Andrew. And at first it's like, who is this strange, like confusion? Like, who is this running towards me? And then it just goes blank. And then the terror creeps in. And he realizes that it's Andrew Breitbart barreling towards him as fast as his California legs could take him. And then at that point, David and all the dudes that were with him, we all run towards the Media Matter door, at the front door, at the exact same time. And David Brock is trying to race back to the elevator to go up to their Media Matters floor. And it's one of those elevators where you have to have the fob to get through and all that. And Andrew was not going to allow that to happen. So we all race back. David Brock runs into the elevator. He's in a corner. His lackeys are in front of him. And Andrew just casually stops. He is so out of breath. And he's leaning up in the open door of the elevator. So the elevator door can't close. And at some point, the little burr, burr, burr alarm sounds. And he's out of breath. And he's like, so, hi, David. And he takes a minute. And then Mike finally catches up. I think they made him stay outside and he threw away a cigarette. I'm not kidding. And then he catches up and he's like, yeah, we're here for the 990. And it was just hysterical. So we waited. It was so anticlimactic. But it was funny in that, I mean, who does that? That was your job. Like, you just drop in on, you know, Media Matters and you troll them and you demand their 990 because they're rat bastards. And you all act like, you know, you're all supposed to be civil in the public square. They've tried to ruin people's lives at Media Matters. So, and it's funny, they brought it out. Andrew and I'm going to be real, because I was in my 20s. I was in my late 20s, I think, or maybe I was 30 when this happened. Andrew and I legit had no idea what the hell we were looking for. I mean, I'm super young. I was the youngest person at the company. It was me and Ben Shapiro. We were the youngest people at the company. I had no idea what to look for. Andrew honestly had no idea what to look for. Mike did. He was the one. And it was hysterical because they bring in the 990 and he's holding it and he's flipping through it like, yes, yes. He's looking at it. I mean, it was a really short thing. It was like 2 pages. He was looking at it like, mm-hmm. And Andrew's like, oh, yes, this looks on the up. And I had no idea what it was. Hysterical. But Mike knew exactly what he was looking for. But it was funny. That's what we did. So flashback to Media Matters, because they have made so Musk said that it's going to be a quote thermonuclear lawsuit. My only sadness is that we can't donate to it. That's my only sadness, you know, like to just be able to pitch in and deliver a kick. That would be so epic. But I had to share this because that was one of the funniest. I'm like, that was our job. And then after that, we went to lunch. It was just hysterical. Like, we dove out in the middle of a busy, busy, busy road in downtown D.C. Traffic everywhere. It was like playing Frogger. People honked at us. I think Mike almost got hit, but he looked so mean and grizzled that nobody dared try. It was just funny. It was too funny. But I hope that thermonuclear lawsuit goes through.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.